It does help having them around. A Daredevil and Spider-Man crossover fic written by Martha the V and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary. Madison the Bust is processing grief and complicated emotions, but he knows enough to realize two things. The Nelsons are always looking to take in people in need of a little extra love and comfort, and Peter Parker needs them more than even he knows. Matt didn't want to hear it, not again. He didn't want Foggy to tell him for the third time that hiring the clients wasn't professional. It was always after the fact, of course. Only after the case was done would he make a job offer. It just turned out that a few of the clients were uniquely talented individuals. Karen, an organizational savant who was God's gift to Nelson and Murdoch when it came to discovery. She had a keen eye for detail that tended to get missed in the swamp of facts that was contained in boxes of evidence. Her discernment was appreciated and she was highly valuable. People kept trying to headhunt her for that very reason. Karen Page was a one-woman army when it came to examining the facts of any given situation. The fact that Jessica Jones wanted her to work for Alias Investigations was proof of that. Frank was kind of doing supervised community service at Nelson and Murdoch at the moment because contrary to Frank's suggestions that he had in fact carried out a community service by wiping out several of Hell's Kitchen's most brutal gangs, the DA simply did not agree. A pile of community service hours served both at Nelson and Murdoch and the VA, community outreach and listening to and supporting other sufferers of PTSD was the only thing keeping Frank out of prison and off death row. No punishing. That was the deal. A shitty deal, if anyone asked Frank, but a deal. His official job title was maintenance manager, and yeah, Frank was certainly handy around the place if a light bulb needed changing, since Matt tended not to notice that kind of thing, or if, as it turned out, the whole building needed rewiring and it wasn't just one dodgy socket. It was a good way to curry favor with their clients, sending Frank around with his toolkit to fix what could be fixed and add what couldn't to the list. A very long list. They should just move from their office somewhere more upscale, but Matt liked the neighborhood. That was the point, right? Being not just community-focused, but community-centered, local, easily accessible to everyone. Frank was really great, actually, especially when Mac and Foggy landed angry or frustrated clients, as happened more often than not. He was a level head and a calm voice in the face of fear and turmoil. Nelson and Murdoch was a last hope kind of place. Of course, being the firm responsible for putting Fisk away gave them a certain amount of credibility. That credibility had been damaged when Matt insisted on representing the Punisher. Foggy still wasn't over that, but he was at least prepared to acknowledge that Frank wasn't all bad. That was a start. Then came Peter Parker. Matt's save of the week turned intern. He didn't really have a great justification for bringing him on board. Foggy had kind of pointed that out already, but Matt just wouldn't take no for an answer. He'd been where Peter was, or in a pretty similar place. Peter's only living relative had recently been murdered, and if Matt could sympathize without telling him directly that his dad was gunned down by the Kitchen Irish, he would have. He'd been alone, like Matt was alone for a long time, before Foggy and the Nelson. They'd saved him. Foggy had loved him so much he'd married him, and the rest of the Nelson had welcomed him with open arms. The problem with uniquely gifted kids in Matt's experience was that when their parents and their aunts and protectors died, dreadful influences tended to swoop in almost immediately. Matt just couldn't let that happen to one more kid, even if Peter was technically 21 and a self-sufficient adult. So he offered Peter a job, and Foggy offered him the place to crash and a family to share. Because Anna Nelson always knew when some brooding, ultra-polite young man needed a hug and some motherly sympathy. They more or less adopted him, and Peter led them. But then Christmas came around, and Matt knew without needing to pry too much that it was going to be hard. The first one always was, because when you lost someone who was not only irreplaceable in your heart and your life, but was central to all your Christmas traditions, the day itself always left you feeling empty and ready to crawl under the blankets and not come out until New Year's Day. He knew that, he accepted it, and he knew before Foggy even asked that Peter wasn't going to accept his invitation to spend the holiday season with the Nelsons. It also wasn't going to stop him or Foggy from trying to include him, but he also knew that holidays were going to be hard for Peter for a while. He understood that, and he was going to try anyway, because despite his objections at the time, Foggy and Anna hadn't let him cling to isolation in college, and it was the best thing that had ever happened to him. The Nelson's love and acceptance was life-changing. Peter just didn't know it yet. Even Frank was going to the Christmas Eve party, although everyone knew that was because Karen asked him and Frank was a weak, weak man for her. Peter was going, if he could be convinced. He probably couldn't, but Matt was never one for giving up. He cornered him by the photocopier with a murmured, "Hey." "Hey, is there something you need?" Peter asked as Matt leaned closely against the wall, like he had nothing more important to do at the moment than hang out by the photocopier. "I was going to ask you that," he said quietly. Everything in Peter tightened at his words. Matt could hear it, the constricting in his lungs, the stutter in his heartbeat, and most audibly the quick gulp and shaky exhale of a painful lump, a deep grief quickly swallowed and forced down. Peter had held up well these last few months, but he didn't have to. He didn't have to hold up and bear it all down. Matt had when his dad died, but there was a fine line between holding up bravely and suppressing things. He knew that better than most. A lot of his feelings about his dad's death remained unresolved and unprocessed, but he was working through them with help and support, and he wanted to offer that support to Peter, who was like him and that he tended to struggle alone and buckle under the weight of it all before it even occurred to him to ask for help. Peter sighed and said, "Mr. Murdoch, Matt." He corrected him automatically. "Matt, I'm not going to the party. Mr. Foggy already asked. I appreciate the thought, but..." Peter's world tried off into painful silence. "But..." Matt gently prompted him. Peter didn't answer him, but Matt didn't need words. A salty tang was suddenly discernible in the air, the tang of tears sliding silently down Peter's cheeks. Matt couldn't think of a single thing to say to him. He was painfully aware of Karen hovering a dozen feet away. She was protective of Peter. They all were. "It's gonna be too hard," Peter whispered as last, the soft admission for Matt's ears only. He rested a comforting hand on his intern's shoulder as he said, "It feels that way now, but having good people around actually helps a lot. Everyone in this office lost a family at some point and found Foggy's after. They can't replace your aunt, but believe me, it does help having them around." "I don't want it to help," Peter declared, sniffling slightly. "If I do, it's like I'm forgetting her." "You're not," Matt said empathically, before changing tack. "What did you and your aunt do last year for Christmas?" He figured that would help. A positive memory, getting Peter talking about May, remembering the good things, and finding some of Peter's traditions that he and Foggy could help keep alive for Peter. He wasn't expecting Peter to give a hollow laugh that sounded like it was painful to make. "I wasn't here last year," Peter admitted regretfully. "I was..." "Vanished," Matt guessed, grimacing. Peter sighed. "Yeah." "I was too," Matt said, giving him a sympathetic smile. "So was Karen. For a lot of us, this is the first Christmas we've had in a while. It's worth it, being together as a family." Peter sighed and mumbled, "My family's bad luck. Parker luck. It'll rub off." "I'll take the risk," Matt murmured in reply, drawing Peter into a gentle hug. The next thing he knew, he had a 21-year-old kid practically clinging to him and crying into his chest, openly sobbing now, no more silent, brave tears, but expressing his pain so obviously that Matt could do little more than hold him and murmur reassuring words until the storm subsided. "Hey, calm," Peter croaked as Matt stroked his hair. "Just for a little while." "Just for a little while," Matt repeated thoughtfully. But if Anna Nelson made Peter his own Christmas stocking and sweater that year, and Karen commissioned him to help stabilize a slightly wonky gingerbread house, and Peter wound up staying with the Nelson through Christmas and New Year's, helping to referee board games and building an Imperial TIE fighter with Foggy, Theo, and Frank, well, Matt was just happy to be right. The Nelson family was life-changing.